This episode is brought to you by Wrestling Resurgence. Use the promo code BROKEN15 to get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise and tickets for their upcoming shows. Links are in the description.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Two.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Cruz.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot to the thunder, Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the modern day diva, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
I didn't see you for the Nick.
Yeah, very well, thank you, Chris. So, another week into lockdown, but we're getting there.
Yeah, so,
alive and healthy, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, week five for our American listeners. I've seen it at home. It's been fun.
So. Whilst the weather's been at its best this year, we must add, I think, yeah.
So it was gorgeous.
Bank holiday, four day bank holiday weekend where the weather was absolutely lovely. But yeah, not allowed to leave the house, I'm afraid, to enjoy it apart from your hour exercise. So, whilst obviously it's all for the greater good, just typical. I bet you anything, when the lockdown's lifted, we have horrendous weather. It's nailed on to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, no Oliver or Mark this week, but I'm sure you'll agree we've got more than adequate replacements in the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lance Rivera. How are you doing, Stephen and Lance?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
I'm very well. You surviving lockdown?
I'm doing alright. I've just been sitting in the house, working out, and that's about it. Just watching telly. Walking the dogs.
Yeah, that's the one time I basically get dressed to walk the dog every day. I've been doing my work in my pyjamas. So I'm like...
Every time I go out to walk the dog, I feel like Roy Keane after he left the World Cup.
That's one thing I have been enjoying watching, just classic football and classic wrestling of back in the day when Roy Keane and Vieira were up against each other, back in the wrestling terms of when Rock and Austin were up against each other.
It's funny you say that. I've actually been watching all four of them as well.
You know, we've got quite a good tag team match going on there.
Yeah, they missed the trick on that.
Insurrection and Rebellion, they've missed a trick on that, looking at it as the main event.
Do you really think Roy Keane would be up for this?
I think we have a one-word answer of no.
That's I interviewed your manager earlier today, Stacey Rose. Yeah, she's a lovely lady.
Oh, so. Yeah. She is a lovely lady. I love Stacey.
Yeah, she recommends everybody watches Tiger King during the lockdown.
Oh,
I watched it.
Carol Baskin.
I must be the only person on the face of this earth that hasn't watched it yet.
I haven't seen any of it, no.
Oh, that's all right.
I watched it as well. I may just say, whenever I'm playing football or anything, whenever I'm playing FIFA, I should say, everyone down the headsets are always just doing Tiger King references. So that's how I've got it. I'm just sort of nodding along and smiling.
Smile and wave, boys. Just smile and wave.
All right, so before we... book our NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv. You get a month's free access to over 145 promotions in over 20 countries, combining to over 7,000 hours of content using our promo code BROKEN3.
Hi, this is RWA Women's Champion Stacey Rose, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So, last week, William Regal announced on The Bump that WWE will host the tournament to crown an interim NXT Cruiserweight Champion due to the fact that Jordan Devlin's stuck in the UK. So the tournament will take place over the coming weeks. The eight competitors will be split into two groups, with each of the guys facing each other in a round-robin-style tournament, with the group winners going on to crown the interim Cruiserweight Champion. So Group 1, or Group A, consists of Kushida, Drake Maverick, Tony Nese and Jake Atlas. And Group B is Isaiah Swerve Scott, El Hijo del Fantasma, Akira Tozawa, and Gentleman Jack Gallagher. So before we get into our... In a moment, we'll get into our fantasy booking, of the tournament. Lance is doing Group A, Nick is doing Group B, and Lee's made the final. So first, quick thoughts on the tournament. Quick thoughts on the tournament, and is there anybody who's obviously missing out?
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a really nicely balanced tournament.
I think as well, it's quite refreshing to see them do something a bit unique. You don't really get them to do it, especially with like the football style of play, like with the point system. You don't, yes. don't really get that a lot in WWE. It makes me wonder of how much of an impact Glenn and Jim have had from obviously from program.
You probably having Kushida in the tournaments as well helps, because he's been in a G1 a couple of times.
I was going to say it's very G1-esque.
Yes. Yeah, I think in Nice and Tozawa, both former Cruiserweight champions, it's obvious they go in. Gallagher's been a fixture of the division since 2016. Scott has been very impressive since he signed last year. Kazuda is a 6-time junior heavyweight champion in New Japan. So I would have thought they would have found room for Leo Rush, as he's been champion recently.
Yeah, I think it would have been good if they had Leo in there as well, maybe instead of Jake Atlas.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think since NXT's gone live and the Cruiserweight division's kind of been revamped in a way, it's kind of got that bit of prestige back. I think, yeah, Rush has been one that's really done well, especially his feud with Angel Garza.
Yes.
Garza's obviously moved up to Raw, but I think, yeah, Leo Rush deserved 100% to be in there. But I think we're going to talk about who should be in there, who might not be. We could be obviously on for a while, and also we have to take into consideration as well.
Yeah.
Investors who might not be able to compete with what's going on at the moment, so there could be that to it as well, for all we know. But 100% in terms of the natural booking, yeah, Leo, I should be in there for sure.
Yeah, I think they could have been interesting if they would put both Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and maybe even in the same group. Or
it'd been really interesting to see the way they work that together. It would have been very G1-esque with them facing off against each other, because you often get people in the same faction working each other.
Yeah.
But Kyle O'Reilly is a diabetic, so he's actually at high risk, so I don't think he'll be on NXT that much.
All right, okay.
Sorry, who was that?
Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, really? Yeah, 100% what he can't, yeah.
He's a type 1 diabetic like me, so.
Yeah, absolutely, no, 100%. They've got to take, obviously, 100% special care. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like over in America with the high risk and everything, but at my proper job, that's not wrestling, I was one of the first people to be moved out of my office. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, same here, because I'm a steroid-dependent asthmatic, so I was like out the door straight away. They sent me home.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So Lance, how do you see Group A going then?
So what I've done is for week one, I've opened up with Kushida versus Tony Nese. So I've gone big quickly.
Yes.
And I've had Tony Nese go over in the first,
oh, wow.
First match.
Yeah.
Just to, so we get him having an early lead. And then I've got Jake Atlas versus Drake Maverick. And I've got Drake Maverick going up over just as with a quick sneaky roll up. So it's a bit of a out of nowhere win. So then after week one, you'll have Tony Nese and Drake Maverick at the top. Mm-hmm. Kushida at the bottom and with Jake Atlas. So then on week two, I was thinking that Tony Nese and Drake Maverick could have a really good match, because obviously we haven't seen much of Drake Maverick
as
an actual wrestler. So I thought, well, I wanted to get some form of different outcome in this that we don't usually see. So I've gone for a draw on that. So then that kind of opens up the group a bit more.
Yes.
So then obviously it's Kushida versus Jake Atlas. And my idea on this is, because obviously Jake Atlas has had such a good career in Evolve,
mm-hmm.
to try and make him look better, because obviously he hasn't had that much exposure on NXT. So, but I've had Kushida go over, but I want Jake to look as good as possible in defeat. So it's a very like back and forth, close encounter with a show of respect at the end kind of thing, with the handshake.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's Kushida on 3 points, Drake Maverick on 4, and Tony Nese on 4. So going into the last day, if Kushida can win, and Tony Nese is looking favourable there, because obviously Jake hasn't got a win yet,
no.
But he's starting to look better and better. So Jake's on 1 point at the bottom of the group. So going into week three, it's Jake Atlas versus Tony Nese. And what I'll have here is Jake going over with a big shock. And hope, well, I say he got a big pop, but we've got no crowd.
No.
But from the people at home, we'll all be rooting for him.
Yeah.
And obviously through this, because obviously Kushida is a big, everyone loves Kushida, he's a big fan favourite.
Yes, definitely.
So then that leaves Kushida and Drake Maverick, and everyone knowing Kushida needs a win, and he goes through to the final. So then he faces Drake Maverick and wins, leaving him on 6 points and everybody else on 4.
Jake have one of three.
Oh, Jake would have three, sorry. Yeah. Jake three.
Right, cool.
I came up with a draw out of nowhere then, but he'd be on 3 and everyone else would be on 4.
Yeah.
Kushida taking it. Everyone being on 4.
Alright, so Kushida makes the final. Who'll be facing him there?
We have in obviously Group B, we start off with Isaiah Swerve Scott against, I'm not going to go for his whole name, but Phantasma.
Yeah.
How you pronounce it?
Yes.
Sorry, forgive me. You know, I'm not at names. But no, it'll be a great opening match to Group B. But Osiris Scott will win. And then Akira Tozawa will take on Gentleman Jack Gallagher Mr. Gallagher's surname. They will wrestle in the other opening match, which Tozawa will win.
Yeah.
And then in the next round of matches, Osiris Scott will beat Tozawa, whilst Gallagher will get off the mark by beating Phantasma. And then in the final round of matches, Osiris Scott will beat Jack Gallagher, and Tozawa will beat Phantasma. So in the point systems, Osiris Scott will top the group with a fantastic 9 points. Tozawa will come second on 6, Gallagher on 3, and Phantasma on 0. Yeah, no, nothing really to note, just some very good wrestling. We will see, Isaiah Scott would obviously just come out of this looking great because he's a fantastic wrestler.
Yes. I
really want them to pull the trigger on him. He's someone I've been a massive fan of in the indie scene, obviously under Shane Strickland. Seen him obviously both in England and America. Probably one of my favourite ever indie matches is him versus Will Ospreay at the first ever Riptide show. Would recommend checking out on YouTube, so a quick plug to that as well to watch. But yeah, no, looking forward to obviously these matches, and yeah, as I say, Isaiah Scott is my winner for Group B.
Oh, so Isaiah Scott versus Kushida, what a final.
And that match has got me very excited, so I really hope we do it. This does actually happen in real life now.
Oh, cool. So yeah, Scott versus Kushida, I can see it'd be a great contrast in styles with Kushida's mat-based technician submission style against Scott's high-flying style. So, but I think Kushida isn't afraid to use his aggressive side in some matches to slap on the submission. So I think that will get him the win in the tournaments. And he's kind of on a mission to get accepted by the US. So I think him becoming the interim NXT Cruiserweight Champion, that's going to be a mouthful every week, so will help him prevail. And then after this, I think Kushida versus Devlin, reenacting the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match from WrestleMania 10, would be immense.
Oh, that would be great. That would be good.
Yeah, so...
I'd love to see that, yeah.
So I'd have Kushida winning the whole tournament.
I think we put to a good tournament here.
Yeah, well, I just love tournaments as a whole. I mean, we've always talked about how much we want King of the Ring to come back, how great that was back in the day. Tournaments are just good fun, aren't they?
They are. I really enjoy them. Yeah. I really like them. I always love watching the G1 every year.
Well, even the Cruiserweight tournament, the Cruiserweight Classic a couple of years ago, was brilliant.
Oh, that was brilliant, yeah. 2016 when that, or was it 2016 when that first appeared, when that first sort of happened?
Yeah, it happened once. Yeah.
Xavier Jr. was in that one.
Yes.
Yeah, with Ibushi.
Yeah, Ibushi as well. Yeah, that was amazing.
That was class.
Consumers, this is the AirPod God and MLW Star. star Richard Holiday, and you are not only listening to the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, but you are momentarily breathing rarefied air.
Alright, so it's time for the first round of A Question of Sports Entertainment.
Yep, so obviously Chris versus Lance this week. Now the theme, it would have been obviously if everything was normal and we didn't have all of these coronavirus going on, we would be celebrating the Superstar Shake-Up this week.
Yes.
So the theme this week is Superstar Shake-Up, or Draft Lottery, however you want to call it. I had to quickly rebook this because I actually forgot there was a draft in October. So, yeah, I've sort of talked to it a bit. But basically, there was a draft in 2002, 2016, and 2019. I wasn't sure how much wrestling, Lance, you watched back in 2002. So,
I'm caught up with my 2002.
Yeah,
don't worry.
It doesn't matter because that's not in there anymore. So I want you guys to name me the top 10 picks from. There's 12 superstars you can say here.
Yeah.
However, they are the top 10 picks, so it'll become. My math hasn't gone insane.
Uh-huh.
It will make sense after a while. So Chris, you won last time against Lance, so you have a choice of going first or second.
I go second.
Okay, so Lance,
which year is this from again? Sorry,
2016. This was the 2016. The draft took place on July 19th, 2016.
Oh, is this the one when SmackDown went live? Okay, so number one was Seth Rollins.
Yep, he was indeed. And Chris, your first pick.
Finn Balor.
Yep.
Dean Ambrose on the SmackDown side.
Yep.
Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Let me think. It's been so long. I remember watching this. I watched it live as well.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm afraid I'm not that generous at times, so I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
Okay. Charlotte was in there.
Yep, she was indeed.
Yep.
Chris, your third pick.
John Cena.
Correct, the guy that runs the place.
AJ Styles.
The phenomenal one. Chris, your fourth go.
Kevin Owens?
No.
Oh, you had a great 16.
Fifth and final go.
Oh, I'm having to really think here. Was the Miz in there?
He wasn't, no.
Oh,
Chris, if you get this right, you stay in the game. Well, stay in this round.
Was Rusev in it?
He wasn't. So you actually nailed off the top 5, 6. You actually got the first 7 picks.
Yeah.
You all in order. So that's pretty impressive. The ones you missed to know were Brock Lesnar, Big E, Kofi, Xavier Woods. They're the final 5 that you could have had.
Yeah.
So Lance does win the first round 4-3. But never count Chris out. Always comes back.
All those massive names we just went.
It's easy though when you're, because obviously you think of who was big at the time, sort of thing. And yeah,
I don't know how we didn't pick Brock Lesnar at any point.
He's never on the show. To be very realistically, he shouldn't be picked. He's never on the show.
No,
I nearly said Becky Lynch at one point, but then I was thinking, didn't she get drafted afterwards?
Yeah, she only got bigger in 2018, wasn't it? So.
Yeah,
and Alexa Bliss got drafted on the post show, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was on the post show.
Yeah, because it was her crime on it. I remember that.
That's round one.
Sapping and Dolls, it's Harley Hudson, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious. See ya.
Right, so what one thing you bring back to WWE?
I was going to say to bring back the King of the Ring.
Yes.
Like, properly the King of the Ring.
What, 3 matches in one night?
Yeah, like the classic King of the Ring, not the one that we've got now, where it just doesn't go with anything. It just comes out of nowhere every couple of years. But I mean, like the proper King of the Ring, we get to the King of the Ring pay per view and everything.
Yes.
And then the winner gets the shot at the title at SummerSlam.
I love tournaments back in the day, but I think the argument is as the night goes on, the reaction to the wrestlers gets lower because they've heard the song so many times. So that's why.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if they're only having a match, like, because you can have obviously the Raw, you can have Raw and SmackDown side of things, and then it can lead up to the obviously you can have the Raw brackets and the SmackDown brackets. Then it obviously when it gets to the semis and the final, that's only what, two matches in one night.
Yeah.
Or potential two matches in
one night. I loved it when it started as eight people and they had to go through three matches in one night. It kind of. The 1993 one was booked perfectly because he had to go through Razor Ramon, who's a big, big bastard. And then Mr. Perfect, who's a technically brilliant wrestler. And then Bam Bam, who's just a huge guy. I was just back trying Bassier. So it was like three completely different matches he had to go through. Bret Hart had to go through in that tournament to win. So it showed all his skills. So it was a great way of booking it.
Yeah. I always like the Survivor Series tournament as well. I know that's not the King of the Ring, but the one for the WWF title when the Rock turned heel.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that one as well, but it's obviously quite similar to each other. So I always just enjoy tournaments in general. If we could make that a thing again, WWE, that would be great.
No, I agree. And I think also as well, you made a good point there, Lance, as well. Then giving someone the opportunity to win something for SummerSlam, to have the main, have like the prestige of main event in SummerSlam for the title.
Yeah,
a bit like what we have obviously for the Royal Rumble going to WrestleMania. I think that will give SummerSlam the bigger push as well, because whilst we know it's sort of the second, third biggest pay per view of the year, it kind of whilst it. It's all well and good at WWE telling us that. It's nice to obviously have a bit of evidence to back it up as well by having superstars to go through something to win it.
Yeah, that's what together. I always think as well. Because if you want to make it a big thing, you want people to fight for it and own it, yeah. Like WrestleMania, where you've got to go through the Royal Rumble.
Exactly.
But they used to as well, like, after the Royal Rumble, for the either brand that didn't win it, they'd have a tournament on Raw or SmackDown as well. And they just seem to stop doing that after a while.
Mm.
Like, I remember Triple H having to go through the Beat the Clock challenge for to face John Cena at WrestleMania 22.
Oh, yeah, the Beat the Clock. Yeah, they used to do stuff. And also, as well, to, like, get your last spot in, like, the Elimination Chamber to come out last.
Yeah.
They used to do stuff like that. Beat the Clock was fun as well. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the gauntlets at the moment, aren't they? So I do like the Beat the Clock challenge. Well, it made more sense if you wrestled the same guy over a couple of weeks. So you know, everybody faced Goldberg, so it's a bit fair. But you do it over 3 weeks. You have three matches over 3 weeks, and it's a Beat the Clock challenge. But
carry on. No, I was going to say I did used to like the random as well, who you're going to face sort of thing, and just seeing the superstars' reactions. I remember once Kane just came out and like beat some jobber tag team.
Yeah.
Won it like 30 seconds.
Cool. What's your one, Nick?
So my ones, I don't know if you guys are going to moan at me for being a bit lazy and not coming up with a side completely different, but my one's more of a rule I want them to make, and it's for the Money in the Bank.
All right.
So, fantastic concept. Love the fact that there's obviously two Money in the Bank matches. This might not potentially work for the women's one, but certainly for the men, I think there should be rules of how you're allowed to enter. And I think if you've already held the WWE title, or the World Heavyweights, or the Universal title, you're not allowed to enter Money in the Bank.
Oh yeah, that sounds
good. A bit like the Progress Natural Progression series. It's for new talent to try and get their opportunity. So. Because if you look at it back, who's won it over the years? Last year, I believe, was Les. Well, Les, that was quite funny. But the year before that was Strowman. He's been there. I think he might have held the top. No, he never held the top. So that's a new one. But then if you keep going back years.
John
years,
Cena.
Cena's won it. Sheamus has won it. Randy Orton's won it.
Kane's won
it. And then even people wrestlers who compete, Kane's won it. Even if you look at wrestlers who actually compete in the matches as well, it's always filled with just wrestlers who have been there. Like Reigns has been in it God knows how many times. You want to have like just fresh sort of matches like where, because I remember they did one in 2012, I believe they did actually do one. I think it was they had one where it was all former champions in one. The one was John Cena did win it.
It was John Cena, The Miz, Big Show, Kane. Is that it?
And Jericho. I think returned on the night as a surprise. I think you had that, and then you also have done just fresh talent competing for the other one, which I believe Ziggler won.
Yeah,
Ziggler did win it that year. Yeah.
So I think that's just the little rule I'd make to just to proceedings there, because I just feel like it's a great concept. It'd be nice if it could have those Ziggler moments where someone completely off new the scene comes out and cashes. Even when Edge won it back in 2005, that was his first ever title win. So, and even if WWE do lose, sort of if Vince loses interest in who's won it and goes, no, I don't want to see him as champion under no circumstances, then I suppose they can always just obviously have them lose it annoyingly, obviously lose the opportunity, and then they get buried into the sand. But that's just one simple little rule I'd add to a fantastic concept the WWE've got on.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree. Maybe if they won one of the mid-cards titles, it kind of automatically qualifies you for the next year's Money in the Bank. If they were booked right, the mid-card titles, then former world champions shouldn't be winning them. So.
Well, that's the thing. You'd like to think that, but again, we're supposed to live like we've got short-term memory loss. So,
Well, I've gone for I want 1980s cocaine-filled, shouty, nonsensical promos, but without the cocaine-fueled. But shouty, nonsensical promos, I want. Because in today's...
Oh my god, yes.
In-ring, pretty scripted promos are all pretty meh. I want Ultimate Warrior, Savage, Piper-esque entertainment gems. Where they went on rapid-fire rants and bizarre tangents.
I was going to say some of my favourite things to quote at Brian Adamson when we're training at RWA is either a good old Ultimate Warrior promo,
yes,
where I just turn around to him and tell him to take his plane into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan, or I will go full on Randy Savage voice and everything and talk about how the cream rises to the top.
Yeah,
all while we're just doing rolls and taking bumps. I will often just sneak up behind him and just go, take your plane into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan. Man, the green always raises to the top brain, yeah.
We do a bit of an Otis impression there as well.
Oh, no. I'm still annoyed that Mandy Rose turned on Ziggler after that. I think I'm the only person who screamed, no, what are you doing? Stop it. Is that the Hogan one where he's telling him to take his plane into a nosedive?
I think so.
That's my favourite Ultimate Warrior promo, because it just makes no sense. Just before WrestleMania 6?
Yeah.
He's just talking about flying to parts unknown. He's like, take your plane into a nosedive. And you'll soon be in parts unknown. Telling him to kill the pilots and everything. And I was... First time I saw that was on the Self-Destruction DVD, so I must have been about 6.
Mm.
And all these wrestlers are doing, like, impressions of it. And they're all talking about take the control of the plane, Hulk Hogan, and throw the pilot out of the cockpit door. And I'm like, oh my god, why are they telling Hulk Hogan to kill pilots? What's going on? Just to see the look on Ultimate Warrior's face when he snarls as well, when he goes...
Yes.
You're just like, oh my god, what have you taken? what are you doing, mate? his eyes are bigger than my head.
Yes.
But you, at the same time, you absolutely love it, and I'd love to see that on Raw now.
Yes.
Like Seth Rollins come out full face paint, just swinging off the ropes, talking about crashing planes. That would make Raw 10 times more interesting.
It certainly would, and I think it would actually go sex character a bit.
Here is an Ultimate Warrior promo from 1988.
Also for the Intercontinental Championship, ravishing Rick Rude to face the challenger, the Ultimate Warrior.
Exit stage left, exit stage right. There is no place to run. All the fuses in the exit side have been burned out. And there's only one straight and narrow pathway to SummerSlam, and it deals with pain and destruction and recapturing the Intercontinental belt. You, ravishing Rick Rude, will feel that pain. Feel that power at SummerSlam as the Warriors claw and scratch all over the back of the Ultimate Warrior and tell me to do what is rightfully right and wrongfully wrong. Take the Intercontinental belt back. Take it back to parts unknown. Load the spaceship with the rocket fuel. Load it with the Warriors, because after SummerSlam, the belt will be mine!
So load the spaceship with rocket fuel, load it with the Warriors. You can't say you don't want any more of that. It's brilliant.
I want all of it.
Bring it back.
So Mark and Oliver also sent in their suggestions. Mark says bring back the tumbler at Rumbles. That's the only way for wrestlers to pick their numbers.
That'd be great. I'm on board with that. I love that. They were always the best segments as well.
Yeah.
Triple H
Flair,
yeah. Oh, I missed it. I thought it was Ric Flair.
Yeah, it was Ric Flair, but Triple H was there, yeah.
So Ric Flair that Eddie Guerrero robbed the number off?
Because Triple H was the champion.
Yeah.
Great. He was there. I remember that. He was hanging around.
No, he was there. They chased after him.
Yeah.
He stole his wallet as well.
Because he made him give the ball back, didn't he?
And then he tried to walk away, and then Teddy Long, being a sensible man and a genius man that he is, he realised that Guerrero had something else stolen.
those were the best segments. Just to see them pull it out and see their expression as well. Just he was like, oh, where is he going to be? And he's like, oh, he must be of a good number.
Yeah.
Oh no, he must be coming in at number one.
It would be funny as well when you get like, the random like, mid-carders that come in, obviously on the win the Rumble, and as they just look at their ball and go, you never know.
Hope for the best.
Right, so Oliver also wants a proper King of the Ring pay-per-view. Elevating new stars is a great thing. After 3 matches in one night, see previous winners, Bret Hart, Owen Hart. I also asked our Twitter followers, and here's some of my favourites. So, our friend Wrestling with John has said unscripted promos.
That's fair. That goes with the Ultimate Warrior.
CM Punk.
There's always one, isn't there?
John Campbell said singing wrestlers with parrots. So I'm guessing
singing wrestlers with parrots.
I'm guessing he's a Coco Beware fan.
I was going to say, smoking
or drinking quite a lot whilst typing it out.
Hey, I can get behind bringing Coco Beware back.
My former co-host on the V2 Academy, Peter Prickett, said crowds.
No, we don't need them. I enjoy the uncomfortable silence.
If you're interested in football coaching or youth soccer, all the episodes of the V2 Academy are still up on YouTube. We interview coaches from Man United, Chelsea, Spurs, even international coaches. So it's well worth a look. Cheap plug.
from years ago.
We're
trying to get this podcast out. I love it.
And finally, Lance's one of your biggest rival, Brian Edson, wants the WWF ice cream bars to return.
Oh, of course he does. Of course he does. How original.
I do like a good ice cream bar, though.
Yeah, no, don't we all?
where are my ice cream bars?
Back for a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, it's not long after the pipe bomb. They had them for a bit, didn't they?
No, CM Punk ice cream bar was in... inside. It was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know they did bring them back after Punk get and his wish. Yeah, because I remember he tweeted about it. Like, or so there was loads of tweets around it. About 8 years on, they finally listened to CM Punk.
Yeah, that was it.
Do you have any others you want to add in?
Do you know what? I was thinking about this. I want the old Elimination Chamber back.
The painful, unsafe one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. I agree.
I missed the whole promo that went behind it where you hear Eric Bischoff screaming about how it's 8 miles of chain.
Yeah.
Unforgiving steel.
Yeah.
I know it's bad, but I don't like the mats that they have on the outside. I know I must sound like such an asshole. I don't like the same comfy mats they have on the
outside. To be fair, the only thing I did like this, I think the thing is, I would have put out more review the Elimination Chamber, but I think as that tag match was so great and how well Heavy Machinery did in selling their injuries and stuff for it,
yeah.
I think it kind of did actually escape my mind. But now that you do mention it, I completely agree. And I was watching this, this is a bit babyish, if anything.
I think it's just a nostalgia thing, because I do appreciate like how much more they can do with all the space.
Yes.
Like in Step Brothers, there's so much room for activity.
I've got another thing as well. I'd like to see a few more backstage, more parking lot fights, and again, this is making me sound like a bit of a maniac as well. But when the Shane and Kane feud, just when they just try and kill each other, pretty much. I'm not trying to say I want wrestlers to kill each other, but when Shane put Kane in the limo and it smashed into the production truck, stuff like that was just.
Yeah,
cool. I mean, that's when I was proper like growing up, like loving it when I was watching Raw and SmackDown every week without fail. It'd be the highlight of the week when you'd sort of stay up and watch Raw on the Friday night in Sky. That's what I'd like to see. That just a few more, because I quite like the Roman Reigns one this year. Again, I think it's someone trying to kill him, but when the car tries to crash into Reigns,
yes.
See, I really like that sort of stuff. Again, I'm not trying to say I want a superstar. On record, I don't want a superstar to get murdered, but I do want to see...
I hope not. I'm in this industry.
Yeah, exactly. don't worry, I haven't got anything. I haven't got any limos lined up for you, Lance.
I'm going to be checking out Wonder tonight.
But it would be quite cool just to see a few of those, a few more dangerous segments, I guess, being brought back from backstage.
Classic beatdowns. Boiler Room Brawl, that's what I want.
Yeah. Or Inferno Match.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we are getting a bit dark now.
I was going to say, I go for the Elimination Chamber, you go, I'll take it one step further. Set them on fire! I want an Inferno Match at every indie show. Me just cowering in the corner.
I'm heading the show, he's trying to move off the top cell, even Tombstone's someone off the cell for an announce table.
I want more of them on the new Hell in a Cell.
When they just fall off and land, they'll bounce about 3 times in the ring and eventually they'll fall over.
This is Royce, ISAAC $, one half of the Wild Cards, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Alright, so it's time for the second round of A Question of Sports Entertainment. And then we'll be back with the return of the BBG Big Debate. So what are the scores, Nick?
So, the score is currently Lance 4, Chris 3. But Chris, you are going first in this round, so anything can change.
Okay.
Funny enough, I want you to name me the first 12 picks again from the 2019 draft lottery that took place in October the 1st, I believe it was, last year, when SmackDown moved to Fox.
Yeah.
So, Chris, when you're ready.
Brock Lesnar.
No.
I thought he moved to SmackDown.
He did, but he wasn't picked very soon.
Really? Isn't he champion? Did he take the championship with him?
No, he won the belt on the first night.
Yes, I remember, yeah. He beat
on the
Kofi.
First one.
Yeah, he beat Kofi on the first one, yeah. Sorry.
Charlotte.
No.
I thought she was one of the first drafts.
I'm just going to quickly get up the if you can just bear me 1 second, I'm just going to quickly get it up because I've got a thing I may have written down. I've written this down really quickly.
Yeah.
But no, I'm pretty sure you're both wrong.
I think I'm wrong now, actually, now I'm thinking about it.
No, you definitely are wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chris.
The Fiend. Straight.
That is correct. Yep. You're correct on that.
Becky Lynch.
Correct. She was the first. There we go. That's what I was thinking. 1-0, Chris, your third pick.
Seth Rollins?
No,
he stayed on, bro.
No.
No, he didn't.
Heavy Machinery?
No. It would only be one individual. But it's wrong.
Oh, no.
Roman Reigns. Still 1-0. Roman Reigns moved to.
Roman Reigns is correct. That was the second pick. Mm-hmm. Lance, your fourth go.
AJ Styles.
Correct. Third pick.
Braun Strowman.
Correct.
Oh, this is a difficult one now because we have gone through the big hitters as well.
Gonna have to push you for an answer.
Was Daniel Bryan one?
No.
He stayed put.
It's sudden death. It's sudden death now because it's 3-2 on this round. So currently the scores overall are Mark 6, Chris 6. So we had sudden death.
We'll stay with
2019, sorry.
Okay.
Jinder Mahal?
No.
Did
I
have to push you?
Oh, I'm trying to think who was the Universal Champion.
The Fiend.
Was The Fiend the Universal Champion at the time? I thought he won. Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
No, he won it the next month.
He did, yeah, off Seth Rollins, yeah. I'm going to say Alexa Bliss.
No.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy.
No.
I will say why
it's been like this, because I've just realised what happened in that draft, but Lance, your go.
Yeah, no, I've realised what happened in this draft as well. For some reason, I wanted to say Drew Gulak. I'm just gonna throw him out there because no, I'm second anyway. So
sadly, not the correct. Chris, your ghost in sudden death.
Eric Rowan.
No, back to you, Lance. Chance to win.
Cesaro.
No, back to you, Chris.
Nakamura.
No, back to you, Lance.
Oh, this is atrocious. I feel like we've gone through the entire roster at this point. Carmella.
No, back to you, Chris.
What big names have we said?
Some really obvious ones.
Gonna
have to push you.
Bailey.
No, back to you, Lance. Chance to win it.
Nikki Cross.
No, back to you, Chris. Chance to win it.
Sasha Banks.
Yes.
Oh, no. Really thinking hard on this one.
You're going to have to push you.
Was Asuka one?
She wasn't.
Yes!
Chris wins. Okay, answers you could have had. You could have had the current Universal Champion, Drew McIntyre.
Oh my god.
Randy Orton, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows.
I was thinking the club, yeah.
I was thinking the club, but we can only have one, and I was thinking
they all went together as the same pick, so you could have said Anderson and Gallows, Ricochet and Bobby Lashley. Chris wins on sudden death by the barest of margins, to quote whoever commentator during the Cricket World Cup final. No, congratulations to Chris and so
this is the second time this has happened to me.
I know what happened now, that draft, because I think they put it into like polls. So I think on night one you chose some of the people from that poll. On the night two on Raw, then you chose the remainder people from that poll, so that's why it went like really weird from like people like Ricochet and Bobby Lashley and Sasha Banks were going ahead of people like Seth Rollins, the champion, at the time, Charlotte, Becky, I don't know, Becky went first.
Yeah, Becky was the first draft.
Brock Lesnar, that's why they weren't getting picked at the time, because it was all split up, I think, like that. I think from memory, I think that's how it was done.
Yeah, they had pots to choose from. I remember now that you said it. I remember the whole thing now that this is over.
And it went backstage and then you had like a robot dance. And
yeah. Because I remember sitting in my room watching it on the telly.
It was the worst draft I've ever seen. I think nothing was ever going to beat 2002.
I was about to say, you cut 2002, I would have been able to call everyone from that top 10 pick.
I don't know what I did. I was just thinking of you were really into it, so I forget how young you are. So
I could have sat here and just gone, oh yeah, so Taker, The Rock, Devon, Bubba. I remember like them all being split up as well, like Undertaker punching the wall because Ric Flair drafted him. But you asked me about 2019 draft. I'm like, there was a robot. What was the one for the USA Network? Was it just a load of people in a room, and then for Fox it was the robot dancing?
It was just random like facts that I don't know.
Because I remember thinking, what does Sky Sports get in all of this?
Yeah.
Just Sky Sports sat with NXT and thinking, NXT just there like, you don't even put us on telly, why are you here?
Imagine them doing that like they're doing that like in England, like Sky Sports and BT trying to like do like a draft of like football pundits, and like when it comes down to like Chris Sutton and Mark Lawrence, they're like, oh, we're stuck with them, aren't we?
Green Sooner, just the last one to fix, and they're like, no, you have him, pushing him back and forth. Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher screaming.
That'll be the top picks.
This is Charlie Bennett, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so this week sees the return of the BBG Big Debate. It's been a while since we've done this. I think it was November last time we did it.
Do you remember?
Yeah, we had the general election, and then we had Christmas.
That reference.
Yeah, general election, then Christmas, and then Mark was off sick, and he was the current champion, and it just never came back.
Yeah, it all went downhill. One of us quit, and now it's
going to be fun. It's a good way of getting everybody involved. Basically, we pick a topic each week, we have a minute-ish to say why your option should be the winner, then I put a poll up on Twitter tomorrow. And go to our Twitter, BBGWpod, and you vote for the winner, and then whoever wins the poll gets to pick next week's debate. Easy. So,
this is exciting.
So I recently read an article that said that Dwight Johnson was reportedly going to play Knuckles in the next Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So I thought that's quite an interesting, surprising choice for The Rock. So I thought. So. What other?
I can see where the casting's coming from.
I think that's what. Every film he does makes billions of pounds. That's true.
Exactly. That's where the casting's.
Well, he's good as that god in Moana. I can't remember who he was called. So he can do animated stuff.
Oh yeah, he was in Mars, the alien film where he was
Planet 54 or something.
Obviously not Moana, none of us go for that.
Alright, so it got me thinking, what other surprising appearances of wrestlers have we seen in films? So that's going to be our debate topic for this week. So who should we go first? Nick, you picked Stone Cold Steve Austin from Grown Ups 2, so here's a clip.
It's fine. I just wish that you would give me more than 8 hour notice before you tell me that we're throwing a party.
It's not a party. Get out of here. It's a couple people coming by. That's
How'd
it.
You like it?
Hey!
You were great!
Where did you learn to dance like that?
She moves like Jagger, no?
Yeah, she does. She moves like Mick Jagger. Is that what she was saying?
Hey, Butterbots. You read Graf's Meats?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kavanaugh.
Lenny Fader, I'll be damned.
Honey, this is Tommy Cavanaugh. This is my old steroid that I grew up with. This is my
wife, Brooke's son.
Why are your hands shaking, Daddy?
My hand is shaking? Probably because I had too much coffee this morning, sweetheart.
I heard you've been running around saying you could take me in a fight.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you did this morning in Kmart.
Kmart? Was I there? I don't think I was there.
You know, all I can remember about this guy is smacking him around whenever I wanted to and him not doing a single thing about it.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of good times like that growing up.
Why is your voice so shaky, Daddy? Are you crying?
You don't stop talking, do you?
Honey, we should be getting going.
Sure, baby. I want you to stop making up lies about kicking my ass or I'm up to set you straight.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'll see you around.
Becky, you'll be having a great summer.
I was 1 inch away from knocking that guy out, and I swear to God.
No, you weren't.
This is grown-up talk, so bat out!
Nick, why did you pick?
I just went for this one. Because I was watching the Grown-Ups 2 for the first time.
Yes.
Last week. It just matched, you know, like you have the... We recommend you to watch anyway, because I've been watching like American Pie, sort of US comedies. So
yeah.
I was watching it, just laughing away. And I was like, hang on, that's Stone Cold. What's he doing here? And,
Stone Cold yeah, with a weird wig on. Was he dressed as the guy from Greece? I can't remember.
No, in this scene, he just was in the supermarket and he was just intimidating the guy Adam Sandler was playing.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't beat you up in front of your family. And then basically. Yeah, then later on in the night at the party, to make Adam look tough, he goes,
Don't hit me.
That's it, exactly. Saying, don't hit me. And but yeah, it was just a surprise, because I don't obviously know who was in it, and it was just a surprise of seeing Stone Cold in the movie. And I just love the fact when there was a big old fight between the new college kids and the old school, that Austin was just sort of standing there relaxing, just throwing punches left and trying. Which is just brilliant. So you always have to arrest the has to fight in the movie as well.
Yes.
Just a bit of a shame he didn't put the star on anyone.
Lance has picked The Big Show in The Waterboy, so here's a clip.
All I know is this, Jimmy. Next Friday, August 29th at the Baton Rouge Exposition Center, I'm going to open a can of whip-ass on Herculon, and I'm going to drive him back into whatever galaxy he came from. And that's a promise.
Strong words from a strong man, Captain Insano. Now let's take a call. It's our old friend from Jackson's Bayou, Mr. B.
Hello, Jim. Is it possible to speak to Captain Insano?
Shoot, Mr. B.
Captain Insano, I notice sometimes when you are wrestling or opening up a can of whoop-ass, as you like to say, you seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Yeah?
I was wondering if perhaps you might need the services of an experienced water boy.
That's pretty cute. How old are you, kid? 11? 12?
I'm 31 years old.
I guarantee that guy's still a virgin.
And Lance, why did you enjoy The Big Show? Was he Captain Inferno? No, Captain Chaos. Captain Insano, yeah.
He shows no mercy as well.
It's been a while since I've watched The Waterboy.
Can I just point out the amazing fact that we've both chosen Adam Sandler films?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully Adam Sandler's listening into the show.
He should be at this point. We're doing more promoting for his films than he's doing. I think I've gone for the superior Adam Sandler film back when Adam Sandler was funny. I watched some of Grown Ups 2 and got to the point where the deer peed in his face and I just went, this is enough. This is enough for me. And I think that was about 5 minutes in. I just went, all right, goodbye. So I just wanted to go with this because I remember as a young lad, like, must have been about 6, watching, maybe a bit older, about 7, watching Waterboy for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Thinking, what is this film? And the one thing that I got out of it, like, that made me stick with it, I was like, whoa, hold on, is that The Big Show? I'm sure that's The Big Show. But because he had long hair, I was like, Is it him?
Yes.
Is it not? And for a long time, it was a debate within myself, because I never thought, oh yeah, I'll just look it up. Is that the Big Show? Is he wearing a wig? I'm pretty sure that's the Big Show. And then being very confused that he was in WCW as well.
Yes.
Because I'm of the age of not seeing the Giant.
No.
And for a long time, the Giant was never actually mentioned on WWE TV. And just the fact that he came in at St. Valentine's Day Massacre was the only bit that was mentioned about him. So I was always of the mindset of, hold on, why is he in WCW? But now looking back on it, Adam Sandler being a Southern boy watching WCW makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I absolutely love the fact of the whole thing, that it actually goes into little detail like that. And it's just hilarious as well, the fact that they all start laughing at him. Because yeah. Imagine watching WCW and some fella ringing in, and then the Big Show breaking down laughing for real. I think that'd been a great segment. It'd have been better than the finger poker doom, wouldn't it? Yes. Let's be honest.
Laugh at somebody to
it. Big Show just laughing at a grown man down the phone. How old are you, kid? 12? 34.
I've gone for Randy Savage as Bonesaw McGraw in Spider-Man. So here's a quick one.
Please lock the cage doors at this time.
Hey, listen. It's some kind of mistake. I didn't sign up for a cage match. Hey, unlock the thing. Take the chain off.
Hey, Freak Show. You're going nowhere. I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of lead time. Ah!
Staying away from you.
That's a cute outfit. Did your husband give it to you?
Yeah! So nowadays, you probably think it's not shocking to see Savage in this role, but because of his been memed and gifted to death. But 20-year-old Chris sitting in the cinema generally was surprised to see his favourite wrestler come on the screen. For those that are unfamiliar with the Sam Raimi Superman, the Bonesaw got the honour of being the first opponent of the Amazing Spider-Man. Peter wanted to test his power to win some prize money in a wrestling match. And it kind of happened in the comics too, the debut comic, but instead of a wrestling match, it was a boxing match. And Peter went up against Crusher Hogan. So it's kind of, in the comics he goes up against Hogan, but in the film he went up against Randy Savage. So it's quite cool. Bonesaw McGraw.
That always made me laugh as well.
Yes, so Bonesaw McGraw is a complete invention for the films, and Savage is amazing in the role. I think he's in the film for like 3 minutes, but if you think of Spider-Man, the 2002 Spider-Man, you think of Bonesaw McGraw, probably.
I would have picked that as well. It wasn't until you said it, I went, you know what, that was actually really surprising, because of, like, I just think of it and go, oh yeah, of course Randy Savage was in that film.
Because it's been memed to death. It's been 20 years, so but yeah, 20-year-old Chris sitting in the cinema was genuine, and you didn't have the internet and spoilers as much back then. So it's generally surprising to see your favourite wrestler of all time just pop up on the screen acting crazy. So.
I suppose that's, yeah, because if you were back then, you would have seen him. The only way you would obviously see a trailer is either on the TV advert or
at the cinema.
or the cinema itself, when you'd actually get in there to see the trailers.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
On my phone, I had Snake. That's about it. I could ring people, text people, and play Snake in 2002.
I used to love watching that 2002 Spider-Man on VHS. I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, we got them for our Joel when he was little.
I used to watch that and the animated series as well. But like you say, I just never even thought about Randy Savage when we came up with this time. Surprising, well, why you pick it? And then I thought, well, of course it was, because even when I watched it when I was younger, I was like, that's Randy Savage.
Yes.
But you just don't think about it now, because like, even at I'd be away at training, and me and Glitch will often turn around and talk to each other like, what you doing up there?
I'm staying away from you.
Every time I go to the top rope, if I'm trying something or practicing something, he will turn around and say that to me.
Yeah. Alright, so there's our choices. So it's The Big Show in The Waterboy, Stone Cold in Grown Ups 2, or Randy Savage in Spider-Man. So there'll be a poll up on Twitter, Wednesday lunchtime. Our Twitter is BBGWpod. And yeah, the winner will get to pick next week's debate. Right, so we've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. So this Friday, I'm releasing my interview with Sin Bodhi, who was known as Kazani in WWE. Have you two got anything you want to promote?
Nothing upcoming.
Nothing from me. Just stay safe to all our followers and listeners.
Exactly, yeah. Please don't go outside. Stay in your homes unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Spot on. Is something.
Yeah.
You should stay at home and watch the PCW Open Ring.
Yes.
That has just been uploaded to Facebook, which features myself versus Matt Fox versus James Reed.
Yes, three friends of the show.
And that's live on PCW's Facebook page. It's also on my Facebook page. It's Lance Rivera, Playboy Prince.
I'm
on my Twitter, Lance_Rivera. Got to get those plugs in. What can I say? I have my t-shirt and Big Cartel as well. I should probably mention that.
I was hoping to be
if
the first.
If anybody wants Lance Rivera merchandise.
Yeah, I was hoping to wear your t-shirts today, but it was in the wash.
It's okay, even I don't wear my t-shirts for the podcast. I've got an Edge one on at the moment.
Yeah, I've got Roy Johnson's t-shirt on today. So it was my plan, because I was going to say in the intro, it's the first time I've ever had somebody on the show wearing a t-shirt. But yeah, I couldn't, it must be
in the wash. You could well just fly. No one's going to see it.
Alright, so if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, BBGWpod. Check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.